worldwide live over the internet through BBS Radio, and I welcome every person who is participating with this call tonight. I have the phone lines open still, although I did turn the entry and exit signs off. So if there are people who just joined in, who called in, if you want to, feel free to say your name and location if you have a chance.
Hi.
This is Ron
from LA.
Hello from LA.
Hi.
Welcome to
David. David Spear from Pittsburgh.
Hi, David. Welcome to the call.
Love and blessings. Thank you.
Pittsburgh, yay!
All right. If more people joined in, if you want to, say your name and location, please.
John from Aspen.
Hi, John.
How's it going?
Welcome to the call. All right. I got news. I will mute his line. All right. So, Wynn, is Terry feeling well?
Is Terry on the line?
Terry is not here yet. No.
Oh, okay.
Hello,
you know
this
what?
Is Anna from Kent.
Hello, Anna. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Right.
Can you hear me?
Hello,
this is Mimi from Arizona. Can you hear me?
Who is this from Arizona? I'm sorry, what's your name?
My name is Mimi.
Hello, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you
this
for being
Paul
here.
Paul from New Jersey.
New Jersey. What's your name?
Paul.
Hi, Paul. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
This is Maggie from Kansas.
Good evening, Maggie. Thank you for being here.
Edna from Snohomish.
Hello, Edna. Guten Abend.
Guten Abend.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches, señor.
This is Teresa from Indiana.
Hello, Terry. Teresa, hi. How are you doing?
Great, thank you.
All right.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Terry.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Feeling
Hi,
Terry.
Hi, everybody.
Are you feeling okay, Terry?
I'm feeling very good, except that I forgot about the Monday call, and I stayed up all night. And, but I feel good.
All right, good, good, good. Well, we're very glad you're here, and I want to thank you for being here.
You weren't listening to George and Ari all night, were you?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't.
Yeah, we know you're a party girl.
All right.
You know what? I screwed up when I did my mailing. See, I haven't done that in a long time. I haven't screwed up in a long time. And today I screwed up, and so, and not only did I have the wrong phone number, but I had the wrong internet direction. And so right now, I am sending out the correction. Okay? There it goes. Went out.
All right.
Okay. So, let's see. Let me BS for another few minutes so we make sure everyone hopefully will get online who wants to be online before I start doing anything deep. Okay? Maybe I should let Hayes talk. Never mind, I'll talk. I always start talking, and then I says, you better get there in the tape recorder on, okay? Turn it on. But I know what I'll talk about. I will say, I'll turn the tape recorder on, but I'll just keep it low-key until for another 5 minutes. Let me see now. How do I turn the tape recorder on?
You want me to do it?
I got it here.
All right.
It's going on.
This conference is being recorded.
This is Wayne 3 on January 20th, 2014, and we made it. We made it through December 21st, January 1st, and we're getting up to February. And if you're listening now, I'm kind of going to just give some background information because I sent out the wrong codes. And I want to make sure that people have time to correct it so they don't miss out. And I don't know, in case you guys haven't figured it out, both Terry and I are pretty reluctant. It's a little bit scary. Getting less so. We're getting more confident. But particularly when we have lots and lots of new people. And it's like everyone is like evaluating us. And if you say the wrong, you know, we're going to offend somebody no matter what we say. And we can't not do that. So I'm sorry if you get offended. There's a lot more to this work than meets the eye on the first glance. It is like opening a door. And some of the information that we've brought through is kind of earth-shattering. But it's not worth bringing in earth-shattering information. And I shouldn't use the word earth-shattering. What's a better word than earth-shattering? Catalytic, provocative, okay? Maybe never before in this realm before. And, you know, I listen to George Norrie and I say, I think I know what's going on, what they're talking about. And usually I come to conclusions very carefully. I don't come to a conclusion because I ask in a channeling and they tell me something. And I take things they tell me, and then I go on the web and I cross-reference it. And sometimes I discover things and then I'll ask them, and sometimes they'll validate it, and yes, that's the way it is. But I'm very cautious because I feel a great sense of responsibility. And when I say that we're reluctant, it's not easy to assume the responsibility for it. And it's like when we first started having conversations with these guys, my original thought was that I was an author and I would just come out with another book, and I didn't really want to be public in the center of it all. And then Daphne was going through all these panic attacks. It wasn't like it was easy. It was impossible, as a matter of fact. And I said, I think this is important, but I didn't know how it worked. It's like what we're doing now is a culmination of 10 years of experimentation. A lot of times on our calls, I would introduce it and say, this is an experiment. And it's still an experiment because every time we reach a new plateau of people, there's a new way of approaching it. I remember, you know, I asked this to Terry in a year ago when we were first on George Norrie. And prior to that, we never had a lot of new people. We only had, you know, trickles of people coming in. Maybe on the lines there were 30 people, 35 sometimes. And then the people would all get to know each other. And there would be kind of a comfort zone and a little community of all these 35 people that were coming in on the lines and having their own private audience. And then we went on George Norrie, and suddenly there were hundreds of people. And it's kind of like we couldn't direct the calls to the same 35 people that were on the line. And we had to figure out how to shift it. And do you know, no matter how much I would think about it, I wouldn't know how to do it until I put myself in the position. I could think I knew what to do. I knew to do this, I would do that. But it's like by showing up and talking and just being authentic, it seems like I would say the right things. But if I tried to premeditate what I was supposed to say, it would come out wrong. It wouldn't flow. And then what happens is the 35 people get mad at me because they say, we missed the old way of doing things, right? And I got at least one email from somebody recently who's like one of the old George Norrie people from a year ago who said, do we have to listen to you tell all your old stories again? Why don't you just tell them to go and read this and read that and read this and read that? And they are, in my opinion, they are missing the point. Because this is about, there's a lot of information. There's a huge amount of information about the way things work. But more important, far more important than the information is the energy. The energy and the connection. And what I have seen, observed, is the opportunity to work out some of your patterns that have been obstacles your entire life, if you happen to have those, okay? And I would say, whether you know it or not, you have them. But if you know it, this is an opportunity. And it's how that works. The way that one shifts their patterns and the way one starts to become more of who they really are. The way one learns to trust that it's okay to express love and it's safe. The way that one learns to become friends with these energies in higher dimensions. And a lot of it starts with trust. And it seems like I'm the guy that has to be in the front here to create trust, because it creates my willingness to just put it all on the line and talk about it, creates the opportunity for you to know that I'm not conning you, I'm not trying to have an agenda, I'm not trying to make money off of you. I mean, yeah, I hope, you know, we have to survive. And for quite a few years, we didn't charge anything. And we were going down the tubes, and I said, well, maybe we can do something different to make money, but this has taken so much energy doing this work that it was hard to say, well, I don't want to get a job. What do I want to do? That's when we started on the pendants. And even when we started selling the pendants, you know, I had a big list. After we were on George Norrie, I had about 10,000 people on my list, and we needed money, and I didn't introduce the pendants to my list. I didn't tell anybody about it. I was keeping it totally separate, and we started putting them in stores, and we started building store accounts, and then we were getting so many testimonials from the stores, you know, like Terry and I were sitting here watching it and saying, wow, we put we we put them in a store, and then it's their best-selling new product in 3 years. It's their best-selling product for 2 years. And then we had the Aura Pictures, and we were at an expo in L.A., and the guy down the aisle had an Aura camera, and he said, let me see what those things do. And I remember feeling a little bit apprehensive, because I said, well, geez, if they don't work, what am I going to do? But he came back, and they worked, and the Auras all changed. You looked at the website, you saw the Aura Pictures. And so we were selling them, and we were guaranteeing them, and it was just taking off. And after we at least had a survival income coming in from the stores that we set up, and so many testimonials, I ventured to send an email to everyone on my list. You know, email lists are really not like anything you can imagine, because every time you send an email out, your whole credibility is on the line. People are going to think he's just trying to make money off of us. He's doing this. And so when you built the list up based on talking to the Elohim, and then suddenly you send him an email and say, hey, check out these pendants, it was scary. I said, you know, there's certain people that think you should be able to do this work and never sell anything. And I kind of thought that, but I couldn't figure out how to pay the bills. It's like maybe I thought someone would come in and be a benefactor and say, this is really important. We're going to give you funding. But it didn't happen. And so we started selling them on our list, and people didn't unsubscribe. And then people started raving about their results. And but it's only a sideline. The pendants are a sideline. That's not the real work we're doing. But I'm just explaining to you from the human side how challenging it was. It's been. And when all these people came in from George Norrie the first time I was on a year ago, it's like there's this unreality to it. We do something, and it says, we didn't really do that. This isn't really happening. Is it? Gary and I both have that experience, because it's not like we have something to thrust on you. We have something to share together. It's a sharing together, and we're all in our process. Some are more advanced, some are further back, some are more intellectual, some are more metaphysical, some are more regular, and yet this is a broadband group, and we could be really sophisticated metaphysically. I used to read everything. I was an astrologer. You know, when I was younger, I used to hitchhike around the country having constant synchronicities. But this is meant to be broadband so that everyone has the potential to get something out of it. And sometimes people who are highly metaphysical, highly advanced, don't get the idea because they think it's too simple. But truly, the people who are learning to hold the energy are supposed to help other people hold the energy. I can't do that. I'm good talking and I'm good being in front of people. But you need contact. You need connection. And I need connection. I can't be connected to 10,000, 20,000 people simultaneously. I can do it now. I can do it while I'm talking to you. But when the call ends, you're all in your own life. And you need connection and you need tools. And what I was learning is that when you start to vibrate at a higher frequency, when you start to hold higher energies, oftentimes the connections you have start to dissipate. People change, or they don't have the same resonance anymore. Doesn't mean you have to walk away from all your friends or your family. It's that it's important to have connections outside of that that do resonate at a higher frequency, and that keeps you resonating at a higher frequency, and it keeps you the ability to help the people around you resonate. But the way that you help them is not necessarily saying come into this call, because as I've watched the patterns, that works for some people. There are people that have brought lots of people, not lots, but a handful of the people, and introduced them to the work we're doing. But most people, if they start talking about it to anyone, it sounds like you're ready for the loony bin. And so it was important. How do we set up structures to help people interface with each other? One of the things we did is we started something called Team Shift. And Edna, who was on the line, has been coordinating that. And we just said, hey, if you feel alienated, if you feel disconnected, we have a group of people, a small group. We put people together in small groups. Edna tries to figure out who works with who. And they call in the light together. They call in the energies together. And then they get to know each other. And I'm not suggesting any of you come into Team Shift yet. I suggest you come into our calls for a few weeks. Make sure it all resonates, because otherwise your energy is going to come in probably too discordant. And sometimes, you know, there's two things that go wrong in Team Shift. One is somebody comes into a Team Shift group and is a know-it-all, thinks they're going to, you know, tell everyone else what to do, and usually that group falls apart if someone doesn't catch it. And the other thing is somebody comes in with very low self-esteem and very needy, and that's okay to come into the call that way. But you have to realize the people can't save you. They can't send you money. They may, but that's not what should be in your mind. Your mind should be, can I uplift myself out of this space so that I can get above my depression, get above my low self-esteem? And that's happened for people on our calls. And until you experience it, you won't understand exactly what I mean. Although, if you can feel an energy on the call right now, you can ask yourself a question. Could that energy be these group soul energies? Could that energy be flowing into your system? That's free will. If you're uncomfortable with that idea, or if you want to test it, then that's okay. But you should test it. You should test it and see whether you trust it, whether you're comfortable. And, you know, if you haven't come to the point where you feel you trust it, then keep just listening in your mind and go through your own process. Because when you let another energy into your system, when you do that, it's like you don't want to make a mistake, because it's easier to keep something out than get it out. And I'm sure all of you have the experience of opening up to someone in a relationship or as a friend and find out that they were not who you thought they were, and then you kind of get stuck in it. So it's very valid to be skeptical, to check something out, and come to your own conclusions, but don't jump to conclusions. Some people jump to conclusions and they think, this must be satanic, or this must be something, or why does Wing talk so much, and why doesn't he let the Elohim talk? Well, what I realized was when I talk, I bring the human side of the energies together, and they come in on those energies. They are part of us, and the more we create a group energy, the more they can flow into that energy. So this part of what I do is part of creating, and we're creating it, you're creating it by being open. You're part of the creation. I'm catalyzing it. I'm kind of facilitating it. But you are part of the creation. A couple of things about channeling in general. These are important concepts. One of them is that you can't trust a channeling until you do. You have to test channelings. I have to test channeling, even Terry, because when somebody is channeling, the experience of channeling for most people, for many people, is that it feels like they're making it up. It's like if you just start talking in a stream of consciousness, it feels like that's channeling. And well, there's two potentials for distortions in channeling. One is that there is bleed-through from the channel's mind. In other words, Terry listens to George Norrie. She, you know, she reads things, and anything that she reads or listens to could lodge in her mind and potentially could insert herself into a channeling, so that information became part of it. Or Terry has a favorite doctor, and she believes he's a miraculous healer, and oftentimes she has recommended people call that doctor. And at first it was a little embarrassing, but after all, I just explained it to people. This is the way channeling works. Another possibility is that a negative source interferes and comes. And this is extremely common with many people who channel. And it's very hard to know a source is negative. I mean, if it came in and had horns and say, okay, we're here to take over the show, then you know it's negative, okay? But the thing about the other side is that the negative goes fairly high in dimensions. And the negative can be psychic. And the negative can be black magic. And the negative can even have wisdom. And it can come in and mimic what would be a positive source. It could come in and say, hi, this is we are the Elohim, but it's not the Elohim. Because the advantage the negative has is that it can lie. It can manipulate. It can have agendas. So just because somebody is channeling and says, oh, you beloved children of love and light, doesn't mean it's positive. And you almost have to look at it for a long time to decide that. The one thing that the negative can't do, as far as I know, it can't generate this energy that can come into a room and make us feel love. It can make us, our emotions, be loving. But some of you are noticing it already. There is this feeling, this pervading expansion that occurs around this work. And the only thing, after long periods of talking and feeling the experience, the only conclusion I could come to was that was them, and they're a group soul, they have the ability to, you know, let's just say what they say is accurate. They're a group soul, and there's millions of them, and they have the ability to come into this realm through all the energy fields, through the field, and be with us. And we feel an expanded space when that happens. And only, as far as I can tell, only a group soul can do that, not an individual entity. So an individual entity, it doesn't mean there's not positive individual entities on the other side, because I'm sure there are, and that there's wise entities, but they're not group souls. And the unique thing about what we're doing is what it seems like we're doing is that we've made contact with group souls that have huge power and huge ability to come into our space. And the way they described it one time very eloquently is they talked about it's like riding a bicycle, where when they come in, they add to our energy. It's like pedaling. So the pedaling transfers from the pedals to the rear wheel. And they're like the rear wheel. The kid sings strength. But we still have to create the momentum. And one of the things that I've learned, and you can run this by in your own thoughts, many people have the idea of God's will. And if it's God's will, and if it's meant to be, and I have an aversion to that idea, because we are individual pieces of God, small pieces in each of us. And the way the Elohim describe it, they want to support us. We're not supposed to do things for them. They want to support us. And we are unique creators who have to develop our own creation. And when you're saying, well, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? You're still trying to develop your creation. You're still working on it because you have to come up with your plan. And one of the ways you do that is by making mistakes. Try this, try that, try this, try that. And you can try to look at where the flow is for you. But if you ask them to say, what should I do? They won't do it. They won't do it because that would be against your own evolution. You are now following something else, and you're not coming up with it for yourself. And so what happens is, as you feel these energies, as you integrate these energies, you can learn to project yourself with more confidence. And, you know, the things that are wrong with people, in fact, I shouldn't use the word wrong, but I'll use the wrong word wrong because people think that. They think there's something wrong with them. Most of the things that are wrong are not even their fault. It's that this realm that we're in has all these projections that we don't even know are impacting us. And they program us, and they make us feel bad about ourselves, and they make our parents feel bad about themselves, and then they make you feel bad about yourself. And it's happened for many lifetimes, so people feel unworthy. And it happened to me. You know, one of the reasons I am so good at talking about all this stuff is that this particular lifetime, I went through so many of my old patterns, and I have the memory of what it took to go through them. And I developed a certain amount of wisdom as a result. William Blake, if you ever heard of him, is an English poet that even when I was younger, I used to read him, and he had this great phrase, "The path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom." You get that? The path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. Wisdom only comes from experience. It doesn't come from a belief. It doesn't come from saying, this is the right thing to believe, or believe in this savior, or believe in the Democrats, or believe anything. It comes from experience. And when you get hurt in your life, that hurt creates an experience. And when you master it, when you learn why you got hurt, then you know how to counsel someone else about how to get out of their hurt. And so that's the William Blake phrase, the path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. Now, I can keep talking. And I can talk for hours. But I announced that we were going to talk to the Elohim, and then Terry said I was up all night. I promised her I would ask her if she felt okay to bring them in.
We can try it and see, you know, I mean, we can try it and see how it goes here.
Okay. Would you like to share with people how you experience this when you start bringing these guys in?
It's like being an expanded being, and I'm trying to be invisible, and I'm observing everything, and I'm sensing it. I'm seeing visual of the places that we're looking at, say, a scene like looking at a hurricane from way up high and seeing the elements of the hurricane, and it looks really kind of small. It looks totally handleable when you look at it from that standpoint. That's just an example. Sometimes when they're coming in, I can see the earth. It's very pretty. It's like they call it the blue planet, and it's caused me to have a it's fun. It's like being on a tour. But I try to be invisible because I don't want to enter anything of my own into it, because sometimes there's situations that they're looking at the elements of an army, say, and it's actually some of when they were one time looking at an army over in the Mideast, there were about 6 soldiers they could sense them there, and they were ready to start a war. They were sitting on a border, ready to go and start a war. And they said, "Give us a sign." And I was really scared because I said, "Boy, I better be really invisible, not think or anything." And but the Elohim were like, totally loving and like with unconditional love, and they didn't react at all to the soldiers, and they're just like spreading a sense of love and peace over the whole area. And so it's really been an expanded view of things. And one of the most amazing things was we did a reading for a girl, and she was in another state, and I'd never seen her house or been there. But then we went to visit her, and I could tell, like, that a certain set of houses, she didn't live there. That wasn't her style of house. I could tell the style of house that she lived in just from having viewed it earlier when we did the reading for her. So it's like been a real growth process for me. Sometimes I sense, like, when we were looking at the reactor at Fukushima, my body felt a little bit nauseous, like almost like radiation was, it was sensing vicariously the radiation. Or when we were looking at the Gulf of Mexico during the oil spill, there was a sick feeling of my body kind of absorbed a sick feeling from the coaxium that in the that was being dumped into the Gulf. So it's like international travel. It's it wears me out though. Sometimes afterwards, I have to sleep and sleep. So that's a little bit about it.
Over and over again, we get little validations. But one of the things they've said is that in past times, they might have done miracles. People say, I want to see a miracle, then I'll be a believer. And the problem is, if they do that on demand, let's have a miracle. Heal me right now. People go back to their old patterns. The goal for them, as I've integrated it in all my conversations, is to make connection with people. And their best way of making connection, as they have said it, is by making people curious so they reach back. And when you reach back, you start the beginning of a connection. Now, there's this idea that they're paying attention, and they say this, they've said it many times, they're paying attention to everyone on the line right now, because by showing up, you're reaching back, you're interested, you're curious. And when they first said that, I was saying, I wonder if that's really true. And then I'll give you one example. And this was a couple of years ago, a few years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, where suddenly Terry was saying something in another language. And, you know, she like monitors it. She knows that something negative can potentially come through. And so when she's not comfortable with something, sometimes she'll say, could you say that again? You know, inside herself. And finally she said it. And then I got an email from this lady in Turkey saying, they were saying hello to me on the line. And she was like an artist and she was a very advanced person. And they wanted her to know that they felt her. And things like that happening over and over again.
They were actually speaking a Turkish language, and I knew that they were greeting somebody. I mean, it was just this warmest feeling of greeting, and suddenly I was speaking a different language, and, you know, it was beautiful, and I could have gone on, but I thought, well, I have no idea what's being said, but it was just this warmest greeting. And then she wrote from Turkey and said, they said hello to me, and they said they called me by name. It was a good experience.
Okay. So, you know, we only have about 12 minutes, so I'm going to ask them some of the important questions for someone who is new to hear the answers to. And I want to tell you guys that there are people that have been coming into our calls for a few years. Lucy, Dwayne, of course, Hive, Ron,
Michael.
I'm not going to remember everyone's name, okay? So you know who you are. And those people have been holding the energy so that we could learn how to do this. And I really thank them so much, and all of you. And we couldn't be doing what we're doing now for all these new people if you hadn't been there and holding the space. Okay, so on that note, we do a little invocation. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those forces that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. This is Ra'an. One of the most important things that we can think of to let you know is we are here like a brother or a mother or a father, and we are available to you if you wish to take advantage of it. And it does not require any change on your part. We are a very high frequency, and so you may not be able to sense us. If you are on the calls for a while, you may start to increase and broaden your range of senses so that you can begin to sense in the very highest range of frequencies where we are. We are very light, very delicate, sometimes with color of pink, light pink, the color of love. And we do not intrude. We are simply there. We do not get thrown off by your emotions. We are able to be there with you when things are rough. And we are a friend. And we are comfortable to be around when you begin to sense us, and you may not sense us for quite a long time, and this is all right, but we are here. Do you have questions?
I'll ask some questions as if I was a new person just discovering this, and one question would be, why do I suffer?
We would say that suffering comes from unharmonious connection, lack of flow, stagnant energy, a differential between where you want to be, where you feel you are, a difference between what you would like to experience and what you are experiencing. Pain is suffering. Pain is lack of flow of energy. The energy just can't get through. It can't move on. There's a stuckness in pain of energy, and it cannot let the charge flow through and dissipate. Sometimes it is due to a body that has gotten out of alignment and the energies just can't flow through. Sometimes it is in the emotions, in the holding of emotions in instead of moving with the moment and attempting to hold back the emotions, and it freezes up the intestinal system. It puts a paralysis on the body, a desire to stop moving. But when you stop moving with a body that is always in motion, the cells are in motion, the individual molecules are flowing and in motion, and when you try to stop it, it is a discrepancy between what is going on and what you are attempting to have go on. And so sometimes it takes a lot of working out, observation, seeing what it is, where their stuckness is. Take a look at the pain and see the lack of flow between one part and the other. That is a little bit about it.
Thank you. Thank you. What would you tell someone who is newly discovering us how to approach this work that we're doing to make a connection and get the most out of it?
Thank you. It is like a walk in the park, a walk down the street. It is simply observing, being there, not doing anything, but seeing what you can sense, what is said, what is and just being there and listening and taking part in any emotions that you feel and just letting your joy come through, your joy at being connected with, your joy at being heard, your joy, sense of joy as if one is coming home and one has been loved all the time and one has not known.
Thank you. And, you know, many people are experiencing fear right now. There's lots of stuff going in the world that could be interpreted as scary. And there's secret societies, there's ETs. How does someone cope with the fear that might come up over all these things that are happening on our planet?
Thank you. Realize that ever since the 90s, there has been a very big campaign to create fear and to control individuals by the use of fear, because when one places them in fear, they become paralyzed. They do not know which way to go. They do not know what to do, how to handle it. And so they tend to stop in their tracks. And so realize that this program is being played upon you. And step outside of the energy that is produced by this program, by doing such things as loving your children, talking to your children, talking to your wife, having a good conversation, going out for a walk in the park, making some artwork, doing some finger painting, listening to some beautiful music to see if you can overbalance this fear that is put on you through the TV, through the news, through planned events that create fear. Thank you. When are you muted?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Thank you. On Wednesday, you know, in 2 days, we do another call, and people submit questions to me, and I pick the best questions, the most important, the most relevant, and ask them, and we get channeled answers. And if you want to submit a question, submit it to questions@intelligent-infinity.com, and I can't promise to answer all of them, but we'll answer as many as we can. And for, we got 7:55, I think we will let them close this call right now and just make any closing comments. And then we'll see you next time, if you choose to show up. Thank you.
We look forward to the Wednesday call, and with touching face and heart, with those of you who wish to come and listen and submit questions. We are in a state of sacred joy at the opportunity to connect. It is a very rare occurrence when we are able to do so, and we thank Tyrion Women. We also thank each and every one of you for coming on the line. Thank you.
Thank you, and I thank all of you for being here, and I'll open up the lines. You can say goodbye, and let me see here how I do this. Just a moment. I think maybe the eyes do it. No? Off.